And it is 9 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 12 noon in the East Coast. And it's 7 p.m. in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Today is September 12, 2016. And this is Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio, we are going to start by wishing our beloved Doug Newsom the best of health and hoping that he'll feel better soon, even though that he can't work and he's helping us all. So God bless you, Doug, and we hope that you'll be feeling better by the end of the day. Then we want to send our best love and wishes to one great lady that is phenomenon that made a stand for all the universe to see, and she's running for president. And she's not feeling so well, so we all send our best of luck to you, Mrs. Hillary Clinton. You did a great stand for humanity. You made a great stand for women, and we all appreciate that. I know that many times people think that men and women are the same, and I always say, we are strong, but we're not the same. People think that we have to be equivalent on the forces that we use, but it's not true. And I tell you how I realized that, because once, you know, you grow up, you play with the boys, you feel you're strong, you can beat them up, obviously, because women sometimes they outsmart them or they get sneaky on them, whatever. Oh, the other boys tell them. So, you know, we can outsmart them. But when you grow up, you start measuring the force, physical force. And by all means, men are strong, and they are stronger, and their body is stronger. We women are equipped with different material. We are women. We are production system of the universe. We make babies. And when you make babies, your body is vulnerable, like, you know, every stage of a life gives you some other kind of strength. And Hillary Clinton is outstanding woman, but it's really hard to be day and night running around at 70 years old. It's almost impossible to be a woman and keep up with this kind of race. So I'm not saying that a woman cannot be president, but this craziness is impossible for women to beat, or the pressure that they're giving her it's not even funny, because they have been attacking her from all over. Let's say that she's not having a fair game played toward her, and to be stressed out of her mind is something really normal. When you are dragged yourself and you're trying, hey, she doesn't do anything else by serving the country. And I know that we have a shortcoming of every human being, that's life. But the fact of the matter that they abuse her constantly, making her sick, that's sickening. Now, I must say, women are strong, are smart, and you know, you don't need to use force to be smart. You need just to think, right? So to be the president, maybe doesn't really have to be that forceful. You are not going to make, you know, you're not making the Olympics every day when you're in that position. The stress is what gets you. And we know that Hillary is not up for that role as a marathon runner. And she's, you know, her shortcoming is obvious. The fact that she canceled California may be a chance for her to admit that she's not feeling so well. And sometimes is staying alive is much more important than winning the presidency. Staying alive, Hillary, is the key. You know, we don't want you, women, being dragged out of your, you know, consciousness, or drug out of yourself just because you need to be a puppet in a show. So sometimes you have to be a man and admit that you're not up for the role that they are asking you to play. And I'm calling off all the journalists. You guys been abusing her forever. I can say that I'm not free of critics to Mrs. Clinton. But I remember when they were in office, it was happy time. When Bill Clinton was in office, it was happy time for America. And nobody say and can ever say differently. The world was happy. We had a great world leader, and the world trusted him. But now we have a different situation. Right now, we have a different situation. And it's not Al-Qaeda, and it's not terrorists, because we are on the way to beat them up, and nobody think. And I heard some commentary saying that it's not, we are going to beat them. And God willing, we'll be empowered and enforced some peace in Syria. But the idea is, do we have a plan for the next stage of the universe? If this global community that we establish through the internet, through the media, through everything, are we ready for this next round? So while we're asking these questions, let's start with having some dots about the latest news. Let's start with the fact that we're going to talk today about this China position. But we're going to say thank you also to David Cameron that just quit the English Parliament. And it's up and it's just now. So I have not much news about this, but we need to put this in perspective. So let's start with the Chinese information and we'll take it from there.
One of the world's most powerful men has arrived in London tonight. China's President Xi Jinping and his celebrity wife Peng Liyuan. For all the warmth of the greetings, big questions hang over this state visit. But the business community is enthusiastic.
Good political relations naturally trickle down to more open policies, to closer friendships, to closer relationships. And we think that that will catalyze more trade and investment between the UK and China.
Red flags, red carpets. China's favorite color. President Xi expects the most royal of welcomes in London. And Prince William was doing his bit to reach out to Chinese TV audiences on a subject close to his heart.
I am absolutely convinced that China can become a global leader in the protection of wildlife.
But the key business deal of the week is controversial. It'll bring Chinese companies into Britain's nuclear power stations. Here in Essex, China hopes to design and build its own. Like many local people, Sophie Weaver is concerned about safety and about the motives of the two governments.
They're both really, really determined to come to a deal, and it feels that that's at the expense of this amazing environment that they could just kill off for the sake of money.
That's the kind of public criticism which doesn't get a hearing in China. Used to deference at home, the leader of the world's second largest economy now expects it abroad, every detail under his control. It wasn't always like this. In the chaos unleashed by Chairman Mao, his family were jailed and the teenage Xi Jinping was banished to the countryside to work as a farmer and live in a cave. I retraced his remarkable journey to power, but found Big Brother even more paranoid about coverage of the president than any other story in China.
Me and Mr. Li, my friend from the propaganda office, are heading now towards the cave where Xi Jinping actually lived when he was here. I feel that there's no point in me trying to do anything without my friend from the propaganda department, because we're obviously joined at the hip today.
China's new strongman sees free speech and democracy as a Western plot to keep China weak. And as he prepares for the pageantry of tomorrow's state visit, this is the man Britain wants as its new best friend.
All right. We had a segment that started like a profiling of the Chinese government and what they're standing for and their relationship with the UK, which is important because it will put us in perspective in toward the next session that we are going to listen to, and it's about China's G20 that just happened in a few days ago in China.
Is China really the right country to be pressing the free trade argument?
Of course, China is very serious. President Xi said there shouldn't be any policy of beggar thy neighbor. You know, it's not possible for you to urge somebody to do something while you yourself don't do it.
Yeah, well, that's my point, really.
That's right. China's reform will not get stalled. And he said, we will not make a U-turn in our opening up.
Some of the observers of China's policies will say, well, talk is cheap. Their argument being that if you really want China to help kickstart global growth, then to dismantle the huge sclerotic state-owned enterprises and to provide more access for China's own private enterprises and for foreign enterprises, that's the way to do it.
You know, I'm a Chinese national. You may say I'm biased, but we are not just doing the talking. We are doing the doing also. And talking is cheap, but action is certainly very much expensive. But it calls for both parties to do the same. That is why I think G20 in Hangzhou is very, very important. Now, these kind of discussions or the talkings, quote unquote, should lead to actions.
This is a moment possibly, and you are part of this initiative for China to step up and lead global institutions and regional institutions.
You see, for a big country such as China, it's important to create a very good image. It's a reliable, it's trustworthy. But China does not believe China should go it alone. You should not dominate. Dominance will not create a great leader.
Dominant is not going to create great leaders. We're talking about a society that is not a democratic society, which is something that we need to ask. What's the sense in all of that? And I'm not undermining the Chinese position. I'm just asking what really in stake. And let's assume that China is going to take a different position in the next round. We have to come to senses, and I'm going to retrace back, and we're going to go back to China in a few. But let's think about that. Yesterday, we commemorate September 11. I was in America on September 11 morning, and I saw the second plane hit the World Trade Center, the second building hit live. I was there witnessing it. And I remember that I knew that it was a terrorist attack. And I remember stopping and understanding the incredible moment that we were living. I ran to the university, I had a class, and of course, biology class was with the test. And I was like, are you kidding me? There is something going on like this, and you're giving us a test. But it didn't matter. The whole world froze. We all knew that there is major, major pain that we all going to suffer. The collapse of the economy, the world economy, is a consequence of this destruction of the World Trade Center, because by all means, America went to war. It took us 10 years to be in Iraq, and it took America most of her, you know, oil and butter, let's say. Because when you waste so much money on a machine like World War, it's really extremely expensive, and it reduces us all into a chaos. And it's not American fault, because she was attacked, so she had to defend her ground. And actually, we don't know what would have happened if she wouldn't come back and, you know, enforced some kind of order. And maybe the last that we're seeing is those Taliban's, ISIS routine. Those are the last that we see of them. But it took us 15 years. In those 15 years, we realized that the world is connected. We all one country, in one continent, forget the continent, we are one global community in sitting in one place, different continent, different countries, but at the end of the day, we are together. So we need to communicate. Now let's start with having some loving, tender care, because with that we can rebuild what was destroyed by others. And yes, nothing is the same. Life was shattered, people were gone, country were destroyed. We cannot even recall how much pain everybody had to go through. But it doesn't matter, we have to stand up, pick ourselves up, and go to the next level. The next level is togetherness. The next level is we are the world working with each other and making sure, protecting us all from all, you know, bad doers. For that reason, I want to play one of my songs today. Right, I was talking about restarting the world again, and after, you know, commemorating 9/11, we're starting today, September 12th, with a ceasefire in Syria, meaning that this world war is about to end, thank God. And we know that many countries are so happy to see it happen, and we're praying, and even though that their hope is low, I think that this time we actually played the cards right, and I'll tell you why. Russia has been a major player in this conflict for quite some time, for the simple reason that she was protecting Assad. And while Americans were contemplating if Assad is a good source of power to let be in the Middle East, we need to understand that we didn't have much to do. We couldn't change anything because, you know, he owns the army, and American power was, you know, touch and go, dropping some power to the rebels, but no real competition with the army of Assad. So while declaring a ceasefire, Kerry and Lavrov decided to let Assad stay, which means that everybody has to go and push back. I don't know what kind of solution the rebels are going to have, if they're going to have a free route out of Syria, if they're going to be hosted elsewhere. I don't know if those parts were determined, but I know that we need to make sure that the Turks are not going to touch the Kurds. And even though that there was an explosion today, and the Turks obviously blame the Kurds, we need to make sure that the Kurds in their area are safeguarded. Having said that, we have to understand that Iran is in play too, and there isn't a welcoming of this ceasefire from Iran. Let's listen to that.
Iran has welcomed a nationwide ceasefire in Syria, brokered by the United States and Russia. Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesman Bahram Qasemi said Tehran has always supported any establishment of a ceasefire in Syria and easing of humanitarian access to crisis hit areas. Qasemi, however, warned that the cessation of hostilities in Syria should not turn into an opportunity for the terrorists to rearm and to regroup. The Iranian official added that there should be monitoring mechanisms to guarantee the complete implementation of the ceasefire. On Saturday, the U.S. and Russia announced a cessation of hostilities in Syria that comes into effect as of Monday. The Syrian government welcomed the move and said the deal will take effect from Aleppo due to the humanitarian situation there.
All right. So we're listening that Iran is playing its rhythm. Now, remember, everybody wants a part on some attention on the global stage. And while the European Union is having a little hoo-ha about what deal they're going to have, and of course everything is reckoning at this point in the European Union, we have a Brexit that needs to play. We need a ceasefire in Syria that will take place, that will put in ease Turkey, Lebanon, and something that maybe nobody paid attention, or they did, or forgot to mention, or I didn't pay attention, that they pay attention. That Hezbollah is going to move to the south of Syria. Something that it's a really, really interesting, because if you think about the sensitivity of that area, you would understand that, you know, it's really tricky having even the thought that Hezbollah is on the move, because whatever it is, it's not going to be pretty, okay? Maybe they're going to be over after that. But we don't know. But meanwhile, we have some Israeli-Syrian situation on the border. Let's listen to that.
A military source in Syria says the army has repelled an Israeli-backed attack by terrorist groups in Qunaitra countryside in the Golan Heights. The source told Syrian media that the attack was launched by terrorists mainly from Jabhat Fateh al-Sham, also known as Nusra Front. The Israeli Air Force backed the attack on the Syrian military positions by targeting a location in Qunaitra countryside. Israel also facilitated the movement of terrorists and their weapons and equipment. The source also said that fierce fighting broke out between the Syrian army and the terrorists as troops tried to foil the attack. Heavy losses were inflicted on the terrorists. The Syrian government has time and again expressed outrage at Israel's support for military groups fighting in Syria, for militant groups rather fighting in Syria. Press TV's Ala Ibrahim joins us now via satellite from the Syrian capital, Damascus. Ala, brief us on what took place today in Qunaitra and the assistance that the Israeli regime gave to these terrorist groups.
Over the past 24 hours, militants from a variety of factions, spearheaded by radical Takfiri fighters from Fateh al-Sham, formerly known as the Nusra Front, the affiliate of Al-Qaeda in Syria, mounted an attack on Syrian army positions along the front line between Syria and the occupied parts of Syria occupied by Israel. The attack aims to besiege the town of Hadar. The town of Hadar is a town of over 7,000 population along the front line with the Israeli occupation that has been a base for the Syrian army and for the Syrian resistance that has mounted attacks against Israel in the occupied parts of Syria in the past 2 years. So the attack started almost 48 hours. In the past 24 hours, the Syrian army has managed to fortify its positions and managed to stop attacks on certain points along the front line. We have eyewitnesses who have been telling us that they have seen ambulance cars and cars carrying wounded militants across the front line from areas under the control of the Syrian government into the occupied areas under the control of the Israeli occupation, where they will be treated. As you said in the introduction, the Syrian government has always accused Israel of supporting militants in Qunaitra province. And also in the past week, Israel has launched an airstrike against Syrian army artillery positions. These artillery positions pose no threat to the Israeli army because they are placed in a way that that is targeting only militants fighting the Syrian army and its allies. It seems that Israel was paving the way for the current militant attack by targeting the Syrian artillery posts in the province of Qunaitra to the southwest of Syria.
Ala, as you mentioned, the Syrian government has time and again expressed its outrage at Israel's support for the militant groups fighting in Syria. Can you explain to us the agenda that the Israeli regime is following with the support of terrorists?
Well, it seems the facts that we are seeing on the ground, and we have been reporting extensively on that part of Syria for the past 5 years, it seems that Israel is looking to establish something similar to what it tried to establish in South Lebanon before the liberation of southern Lebanon, by creating a local militia that has affiliations and loyalty to Israel that would only attack the Syrian army and not the Israeli occupation. And this militia would create a barrier area that, or a buffer zone between the Syrian army and the occupied parts of Syria, hence denying the Syrian army any chance to even think or consider any attempt to liberate this area militarily. And to say, to be truthful about it, Israel has made substantial gains in that regard in the past few years. They have managed to establish very strong ties with the militant factions operating in these areas. Even Israel does not deny it is helping these militant factions by providing them supplied with to carry on the fighting against the Syrian army. The Syrian army, backed by its allies, who counter these, serve as why the militants are attacking to create a buffer zone.
All right, thank you very much.
All right. Now, so many speculation we had in that comments there. It's like, okay, Israel and the Syrian border, you know, Israeli and the Syrian border had a little hoo-ha, and some explosion was over the border of each other. And the fact that Israel is trying to assert people from not attacking it, it's... it's something that is bogus to me, but I would claim that Israel wants peace with all its neighbors. So any kind of negotiation, cessation of fire will be always in play and with all the parties. So I am really, you know, a little oblivious to the fact that somebody would suggest that we're talking to some of the residents and not the all as a country. Israel would not do that because the people there can come and go, but the regime is the one to stay. And if somebody is in a political world, they know that you cannot trust somebody that is not in the power position. Having said that, you know, who has the power? The power is right now is of the world to come together and play it right, because we have no other world and we can do it if we play it right. And many people are talking about now, you know, the Palestinian Abu Abbas is a KGB informer. He was an ex-spy. Well, he lived in Russia. And in Russia is something that it's a different time, it's a different age. If he talked to anybody, he was an informer. So, you know, probably they have some saying in that. But I would not make it an issue. I don't know if anybody can make an issue of anybody in this world, because we all in this world together, and talking to each other doesn't make us collaborated. Collaborators are the one that will sell their own government or own party on their own mom, for that's what we call them, for the sake of themselves. But I don't see that happening there. However, there were some things that Benjamin Netanyahu said about Judea and Samaria, and I want to not to reiterate what he said, because whatever he said is not as clear to me as one issue. Judea and Samaria is that borderline that is the buffer zone that protects Israel from attacks from outside. And until we don't have any kind of understanding, any kind of agreement, Israel will need to protect herself with those buffer zones. You can call it settlement, you can call it occupation, you can call it whatever you feel comfortable. But in order for Israel to survive this crazy world that we live in, she found herself protecting herself by having an extra place, buffer zone, to see it through if something happens. So we can negotiate about when the peace agreement will be and when all angels are going to sing in heaven and everything is going to be okay and dandy. And after 500 years, we might consider giving back. I don't know what's giving back, actually. It's not, it's Israel. It's Jewish by biblical connection, so there is no giving back. We can share it, maybe, with some of people that live there, born there, and came to visit. But the truth of the matter is, there is a God, and it's not us. So sometimes it's Book of Books is the only thing that we can see clear and understand what we're doing. All right, so let's put some music, and we'll be back after that. We are back at Adagio. That's something that we need to all take care of. Take it easy. We need to just slow down. I know that my connection is from the Holy Land, so sometimes it might be not so well, and I know and I apologize for this, but you have to remember, you are as great as everybody else. We are this, and we can make it through to the next level. I want you guys all to remember that whatever happens today is the, so, you know, it's the start of a new day. It's a start of a new cycle. We are going to start, and you know, this month is a very special month for the Jewish people. It's a month that says, "I'm sorry, I am on your side. I'm not, you're not alone. You're my friend, you're my brother, you're my buddy. Come together. Merkasek. Heal up old wounds. Make sure that you're back where you're supposed to be as the leader of the free world. Force it. Heal back your wounds. Make sure that the economy is strong. There are leaders that are willing to take the load right now, like China. And never mind, give them the opportunity to do so. They took all the economy. Now it's their responsibility to manage it. Don't try to struggle and make it all. A Superman is an American idea, but Superman have always downtime, like every heartbeat. You have a down and up time. Please remember that when you start something, you will have, you know, to finish it, but you can have the time to relax and calm down. But saying that, I'm saying that America doesn't have to be in the front line all the time. You can be also on, you know, the bench is for some time to recover, right? We need to heal a little, all of us. We've been running the fast track for so long, and we need to take a deep breath, count again what needs to be done, and maybe replan, because the world is not like before. And I know that many people, you know, let's make it up while we're going. But no, we need a major planning. And I'm sure that your plan will work out. Now, because the connection is very bad, I don't want to post and abuse it. So I'm going to send you with another song, and I'm going to salute you, and we'll pay that back some other time. God bless you all, and talk to you soon. Bye. Bye-bye.